311.
Good afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of the 311 Radio Show right here on VOB 92.9 FM. I am Crystal J. Paul, and as usual, we have the Barbados Fire Service with us. Of course, it's a fire show as usual. We have Fire and Life Safety Officers Natasha Ford.
And a pleasant good afternoon to each and every one of you.
And Jason Collins.
Hey, good afternoon, Barbados.
How are you both doing?
Well, at this point in time, I'm absolutely fantastic, but I know that as we get into the show, that is going to change.
I wonder why. But you know how it is. If you presuppose it, it's going to happen. But you have to will yourself into saying it will be a good day. It will.
Yes, I've been meditating the whole morning, just trying to keep it in. Just going through these. The hums in the hums.
All right. How are you doing, Officer Collins?
I am fairly good as well at this point. I'm going to remain calm, though, throughout the show.
I know, yes, you usually are. Oh,
no, I don't understand that. Homie, he usually is. So you're trying to say that I'm the what?
No, it's a good balance.
I'll going back to my meditation vibe.
I said it was going to be a fiery show. It always is a fiery show, right? Oh my! Well, we are in some strange times. We've been going through some experiences the past several months since March, being on lockdown and quarantine, and then phasing, opening, and so on. And, we know that we're not yet through the gate because this thing is going to be around for a while. And we see what is happening in other countries around the world, and we need to open our eyes and understand that we still need to take our precautionary measures. So I know that's what you want to talk about today and just remind people about a few things.
Oh, yes, and I wish somebody would write that across the sky, big and bold, so everybody can see it. We are still under COVID-19 regulations. Mm-hmm. Now, again, one of the things that we've been experiencing a lot of hostility on, and this, it's not from everyone, but there are some people who seem to take things for granted. Now, as I said, even going out there in our duty, doing our duties, we can come from one building right next door to the next, which is right next door to the one that we're going into. Before going into that building, we've had to make sure we're wearing our masks, temperatures checked, and alcohol or whatever form of sanitization they're using. We have to be sanitized. And as I said, by the time I get home or even if I don't think I need to take a shower, that's how much sanitization, that's how much we've been doing. Mm-hmm. Now, the fire service is no different, as I said. Persons come here to conduct business. Persons come here to pay for burned permits. You come here to collect fire certificates, to fill out the form, to make payments, to go to the accounts. There's a whole set of things that are going on. Now, whether you got sanitized, whether your temperature was taken at another location, that absolutely has nothing to do with us. Protocols dictate that when you get here, and the sign is big and bold on the door, thanks to Kevin Sobers, before entering.
Come after Kevin Sobers.
Ensure you're wearing your mask, you must be sanitized, and your temperature will be taken. If you see the kind of hostility in some cases we're getting, I don't see what is wrong with it. Sometimes it's like you hear about this person, you saw the person in the morning, but afternoon time to pass away.
Yes.
People fail to realize things happen. Mm-hmm. So, again, because of businesses having their protocols and whatever else, please don't become upset with them. Just follow them. I'm sure if you were working in the establishment and you were given a set of rules and regulations to abide by, you would have to do that or leave the people work site.
Yes.
It's simple. If you don't want to do it, then just don't come to the place of business.
Think of it this way. think of it this way. Somebody who's on the road all day and then going to your house, I'm sure you'd want them to sanitize. And if you could, check their temperature before they come in your house. It's the same thing, eh?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. So, that is pet peeve one. Let me draw a little closer for number two.
Oh, my. I thought you were getting fiery. Go ahead.
I'm trying to keep her mellow.
Jason is here rubbing my back and talking about mellow. I don't feel like mellow cream. At this point in time, now, we recognize businesses, yes, would have put certain protocols, certain recommendations within their environment to safeguard themselves and the occupants of their facility. One of the things that the Barbados Fire Service will not tolerate is if you have an alternative exit, blocking off that exit, whether it be whatever form you use to do that blockage, whether it be locking the door, whether it be by putting blocks in front of the door or furniture in front of the door, whatever, at no point in time are you allowed to block off an exit, whether it be exit or emergency exit. During operational hours, they are supposed to remain open. How you police that exit is up to you. But I reiterate, and I'll state again, you are not allowed to block off any exit. Now, if it becomes known to us that that is the case and that is what you are doing, well, then be prepared to face the circumstances. And this is not only from the Barbados Fire Service. I'm sure we also have the backing of the Labor Department, as well as the support of the Royal Barbados Police Force.
Why would people be blocking off an exit, though?
Persons are using the excuse that this is their COVID-19 protocol. That is their way of safeguarding their environment. Now, I've seen some other places, and to me, this makes basic sense. Places who have two doors, two exits, or entrance exit, whatever you want to call it, but there's an alternative there. Persons are using one door as the entrance, and they're using the other door as the exit, which makes absolute sense. It's the case, you know what, you don't have to bother about the cross-contamination. So as I come in, I'm sanitized, I do what I'm supposed to do, and I leave through another door. So those who are coming in through that first door, they do not have to butt upon me. Mm-hmm. I think a word to the wise, and me still remaining mellow, is enough.
So then they want to cut off one exit, but then... You know, people fail to remember instances and incidences where there would have been consequences, dire consequences paid for.
Thank you.
And, you know, we know that there are one entrance and exit establishments that mm-hmm. wish to have another exit, but can't because, you know, it's not their building, you know, et cetera. So...
And then in some cases, Krista J, the thing is that you as general public, when you go into some of these establishments, you would think it's just one door. But you don't recognize that some of these places, they do have alternative exits.
Yes.
Now, yes, we would be privy to that being members of the organization and when we carry out our inspections. So we know that if push came to shove, that these people, they can do better, there is another way. But it doesn't make sense, I guess, opening up to public at this point in time for persons who are going to lose themselves.
You see, what would be ideal is if, at both points, you have some... I mean, I know it's more costly. Maybe that's what they're trying to get away from, having to pay two people to stand at each door with a bottle of sanitizer spray and another... With a temperature check,
temperature.
Right?
Okay.
Right. But what is more costly?
I was just about to
ask. Have to weigh the cost.
What is more costly, you doing that or recognizing somebody comes into the establishment who has COVID-19, who transmits it to your staff, and then at the end of the day, your staff now has to be out.
Right.
You don't know if that one person can contaminate within the given day, mm-hmm. within a given day. So then you have your establishment closing back down. Now, I'm sure that for the couple of weeks that there was no activity, I'm sure this person felt it in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Persons, I'm begging at this point and saying, don't try to recover that loss now by becoming complacent and regarding safety of others and yourself. If you're not thinking about, think about your internal customers, which are your workers, your employees, and think about your external customers. Because if the internal customers are not there to satisfy the needs of the external customers, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
You're none the wiser. And if the business has to close doors again, isn't that going to be a problem?
Yes. That's right.
All right.
Right. So
I think that's my bit of, business studies and human resource management and organizational behavior talk for this week.
All that.
I'm not going to charge for the course today.
Oh, my goodness. So what is the charge for failure to comply to this requirement?
Well, if persons are in breach of, and again, it's not an act that Natasha just pulled from under her hat. We're talking here about the Safety and Health at Work Act, which we will normally hear persons say the Shaw's Act. That is our reference. That is what we're working with. And as we know, at this point in time, the Ministry of Health, they're who the point persons, they're who we take, they're the persons that we're taking the advice and everything else from their point. They're the point person basically at this point in time dealing with this situation. So if we do go in, we recognize that it is a threat to life, being that the persons have blocked off these entrances. In any way, as I said, there are two options. One, you can remove it and find an alternative. Or two, we can ask you to cease operations immediately. And I'm sure that is not the route that we want to take.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm sure you don't want to push us to that point either. It's not a power struggle here. It's not showing who has the most power. I think it's basically, as I said, it's about common sense, letting common sense prevail.
Right.
At the end of the day, our mandate is safety. And we're not talking only safety here in terms of persons, COVID-related safety, but safety as it relates to fire.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, business persons see safety from their end in terms of stealing, in terms of COVID at this time. But we as the Barbados Fire Service have to look at all the aspects of safety, not just COVID or stealing, but we have to look at safety from the aspect of fire. If, God forbid, that there's a fire in the establishment, it is our responsibility to make sure that these places are compliant so that whoever is within that building at that time can get out in a safe and orderly fashion. So we have to still fulfill, whether there's COVID or not, we still have that mandate to fulfill to make sure that if something happens at your establishment, that you can, that everyone within that establishment can get out safely.
Right.
Now imagine having I just want to draw this picture. Imagine having a building, and basically building has two exits.
Mm-hmm.
Your building is, say, three stories, four stories. Now you've blocked off on the bottom floor, you've blocked off one of your exits. It means that you are forcing the stream of people to go through one access, one door, thereby creating a bottleneck. So if persons say normally a door would allow, within a minute, say, about 60 persons, you've significantly reduced that now. If you had two exits, then you could have double the amount of people getting out within the same time frame.
Yeah.
By closing off that alternative exit or the emergency exit, you have now put those persons at a higher risk.
Yes, that's true. That's exactly true. Let me ask you this. What if there is an employee listening and this is what is the case at their workplace? They've put it forward to their employer and the employer fails to do anything about it. What should their recourse be?
Their recourse is they can call us anonymously.
Anonymously.
Thank you. Right. They can call us without fear of us mentioning their name or anything like that. Give us the information that we need, and we go in and we look at those things. It has happened in the past before.
Correct.
Okay.
No one knew. I mean, even if we go in there, you don't know if we know that person or not.
Mm-hmm.
They call me the silent killer.
They call you the silent killer?
Silent killer.
Oh my goodness.
So it's like we're going undercover, no like ninjas. Nobody has to know that. We were so discreet. My mother would be standing next to me and no one would know she is my mother.
Yes.
That's how discreet that we are. So as I said, there should be no fear. And the thing about it is, if you're working in an environment which is not safe for you, you don't consider it to be safe, or you have questions about it, call the authority, get information. At the end of the day, yes, you are at work, you spend, a fair set of time at work, but one of the things I've come to recognize is that we love our jobs. Most of us love our jobs. We go out of our way to execute our duties responsibly and whatever else. But realistically speaking, when we go back to being us, although you're missed at work, if you had to pass away within a couple of days, weeks, somebody else fills that post. But at the end of the day, I think it's your family who mourns you longer. And that's just the way that I see it. I'm not saying I'm going to do less when I'm at work. I'm going to put my all into it. If there is a situation that I'm not comfortable with, I make my boss miserable. And he would always tell me, you miserable, you know.
Oh,
I'm supposed to be miserable. I'm supposed to be miserable. But at the end of the day, if he can do something to address what is going, he does that. If you're not getting any recourse, they expect you to just come in and do the same thing over and over, and you're putting yourself at risk. There is the labor office there as well. They ask you to talk to them. If you don't talk to people, you cannot have issues addressed. You don't know where to go. So as I said, if you have any issues, anyone hearing me today, if you have any issues at work, and we're talking about life and safety issues, not talking about you just don't like the boss. I can't help you with that. I might say just don't like mine too. I love him. He is. You know, come on, man. You know, our officer mirrors, he's the bomb. Must say that. But if your officer or your employer is not taking things seriously or as serious as you would like them to, say something about it. Call the Barbados Fire Service, call the Labor Office, report these matters. Sometimes I find that what we used to do is we used to leave it to persons. We would say, if you have this issue, I think you should address labor. And persons would be kind of intimidated to do it or not sure. And I think one of the things is we come across something, carrying out our duties, we call the office and we say to them, well, I went and I did such as that and I don't like what I'm seeing here. Could you investigate it further? It's all about interagency operability.
It's about what?
Interagency operability.
Okay. All right, officer. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's good. It's really good to know, and it's heartening to know that the Barbados Fair Service works so closely with so many different institutions.
You have to.
Yes, yes. You see, because people will just think of the Barbados Fair Service as a standalone agency, but then you have to lock arms with your fellow agencies.
Most
right?
Definitely.
Every aspect of our job requires us to work with another entity, at least another entity. Every aspect of our job.
There you go. So yeah, so it's important. That's good to know.
Definitely.
All right. So,
let me throw out a question over here for you now, Miss Krista J.
Okay.
So we know we've been hearing quite recently a lot on the air about Barbados is now under Hurricane Watch.
Yes.
Are you prepared? I've now taken over the show. I've now hijacked the show. So I'm now the moderator.
Not as prepared as I would like to be, but I will be.
Right, so I was trying to see how prepared are you now?
Yes.
Have you already gone to the supermarket? Do you
not
have
yet.
Your non-perishable items?
Remember that things have not been the same, too. So, you know, I mean, I do have some, but, you know, I need more would be good. So
exactly, and I'm sure the ones that you probably stocked up on during COVID, all of that has not gone as yet.
No.
All right, you know what? We can switch back over. I'm going to take you over to the hot seat.
How about you, Officer Ford?
Right. So basically, for me, talking as Fire Officer Ford,
mm-hmm.
at this point in time, I can tell you my phone has been going, and this is because the coordinator of our rescue unit has been sending us messages on top of messages to ensure that the rescue teams that have been put together in the event that anything should go haywire, that we're in a state of readiness. So up to this morning, we did another check-in if persons have their bags all packed in case we need to be deployed to another Caribbean island.
Okay.
We've been given the heads up, you know, to make sure that our families have been addressed, that we've done things in order to prepare them in case that we are away, that his bills are paid, whose stuff are at home. So it is not just a case like we now hear the news and we're now trying to get ready. We already have to be in a state of readiness.
Understood.
Well, just
to let the listening audience know, of course, they're hearing this program on Sunday, but this is a recorded program because, of course, the hurricane is due to hit this weekend.
Right. So what we normally call it our SART team, that is search and rescue team, SART.
SART. Okay. Got it.
Yes. I know my dictionary is at times, my tongue tends to roll in and all sorts of things.
That's right.
Words,
okay.
Right. So, yes, we have a number of teams, and these teams are functional in terms of, yes, we have persons with different skill sets inside these teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, we are just waiting on the standby when it comes. Then we know how we're supposed to operate. Team one would be in on standby for probably 6 hours. Team two, they were interlap in case, you know, team one is deployed, then team two would take up and they would facilitate. And that's the way that we're doing it. So yes, we are ready. The battle boxes have been checked, making sure that there's enough diesel and oil and everything for the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the Barbados Fire Service, we are born ready.
Mm-hmm.
You have
born ready.
Persons out there, and then you have fire officers. This, as I said, is a totally different category of people. We are born ready.
That's right. That's right. That's good. That's good to know. That's reassuring.
Have no choice but to be.
Yes. Yes, that's reassuring. So that's good. So we're all packed up. We're all ready. And yeah, well, we know we'll see what happens by the course of the weekend, by the time people actually hear this program.
It is true. So for those persons out there who are living in areas and, you know, at this time, get to the supermarket. Don't wait until the last minute. Those of you who know that the, we call it the flashlight, you don't have the batteries, please don't go and ask the neighbor, because if you come and ask me, and say, I ain't got none. I don't care how selfish I sound right now. You had ample warning. So, no, you're getting my batteries. Go to the supermarket, get your double A batteries, get your triple B, triple D, whatever size it is that you need. Go get your batteries, get your flashlight. I'm sure if you go into certain hardware stores and supermarket, they actually, you know, the thing about it is that they actually have to the front of the store, like this hurricane supply kit, things that you need. So it's like a reminder when you're right there at the checkout and you glance around, it's like, you know what? I need to get one of these, you know. Mm-hmm. So instead of picking up the bottle of spirits, invest in something else that can probably save your life. Yes, they say spirits and you look wrong at me.
Amen.
I'm not talking about okay
amen.
Then.
Exactly.
Amen.
She didn't let me say anything.
So get something that you know that you are definitely going to need. Those of you pet lovers out there, I mean, many a times we don't even think about our pets. We claim that we love them. How many of you have additional dog food? How many of you have your additional cat food? Don't forget the goldfish. If he needs his food, you know, get your little extra flakes, because guaranteed if it comes to the point that we have to close down, you cannot run to the supermarket and say at the last minute, I'm going to get this stuff. And try to buy things non-perishable. Open the can of tuna. You can eat it, something that you don't have to necessarily, and don't think about picking bright fruits at this point in time where you're going to have to put them up inside the freezer, a lot of things for the freezer. You don't want to be overworking your freezer at this point or your fridge at this point in time. So a lot of us are going to go back to spinach cakes. We're going to go back to corned beef fritters. If I see the vendor downtown with a nice pumpkin, I want some pumpkin fritters, bakes. These are things that we need to go back to. Spaghetti the caviar.
The caviar.
The caviar. And make sure you have family games for children. Children become extremely bored. I can't tell you. My daughter is driving me up a wall when the electricity go off.
Exactly. Especially if your net goes off.
Thank you. Mommy,
the
computer working. Baby, you don't have Wi-Fi. So why your Wi-Fi don't walk up? Baby, the electricity is off. Get family games. Even if we have to play these family games by candlelight, battery-operated flashlight.
There we go.
Tell stories. But you know, they have these candles that are battery operated, necessarily the ones where you have to use the open flame. Those of you who don't have those in place, I would encourage you, get your smoke alarms, get your fire extinguishers. You need to be prepared.
That's right.
Being prepared, I think, with the whole advent of COVID, being prepared should be something now that is part and parcel of our everyday life. It shouldn't be something where we wait on an update stating there's going to be a hurricane or a storm or whatever have you, a system passing. Being prepared should be part and parcel of what we do on a day-to-day now. I think COVID was a lesson for all of us, each and every one of us, being prepared. So I think, you know, we should be more on board now than ever.
Yes. You know, believe it or not, we have 1 minute left for the program, about a minute and a half.
How does time fly so quick?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. It does.
I think somewhere along the line, big speeding up the time. But anyhow, on that note, for the last minute, what we would do is encourage persons, please state these things as serious as they are. We've seen the devastation out there in our neighboring countries already. They're so close to us. Stop with that crap that God is a Bajan and nothing is going to happen to us. God is a Bajan, but still yet COVID-19 came to our shores.
Yeah.
I'm sure God is a Mexican, he's Asian, he's Chinese, he's all over. So, exactly. God has not given you the spirit of being dumb and stupid, but being wise and using your intelligence when you need to use it.
Tell you.
That's my sermon.
Amen. On a Sunday. For those who didn't go to church. thank you very much, officers Natasha Ford and Jason Collins, Fire and Life Safety Officers. Thank you so much for being with us in the 311 radio show today.
Thank you as always.
Thanks.
And have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much. And keep
enjoy
safe.
Enjoy the rest of the week and stay
that's
safe.
Right. Yes, yes. Thank you so much. And I'm Krista J. Paul. And that's it for the 311 radio show today. Hope you had a good listen. And if you miss any of the broadcasts, you can log on to VOB929.com and listen to the podcast of any of the past editions as well as this one. God bless and have a wonderful week. And as is always said,
fire prevention is our intention.
Protecting life and property.
You can depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.